Well, Barbara, you just read a quote by John Wesley. Why don't you give it to us?
I was just looking at the little daily reminder on our in our studio desk here by Charles Wesley. Faith, mighty faith, the promises sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibility and cries, "It shall be done." Thank God, bless you. Thank you, Charles Wesley. Great songwriter. Great songwriter.
Well, I look at Romans 4:17. It says, "For God gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist." Mm. Now, what that's really saying is that you're going to have to, again, I have to tell you this, faith is walking in the unseen world. And once you realize that's more real than the physical world, and one day, the Bible says this physical world is all going to burn up. Well, but what's in the unseen world, in the world of faith, is not going to burn up. That's and right. By the way, as you add more and more scriptures to your inner man of the heart, that's never going to leave you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be with you on into eternal life.
Yes.
And I believe that with all my heart.
Well, you know, this part of Romans is talking about Abraham, how faithful Abraham was in believing God. And Darren, I say Abraham is one of, he's the father of faith. We just have to look to him as an example. Now, one of the things, Abraham believed God. He believed God. He didn't look at his circumstances. We know faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by sight. And for we walk by faith and not by sight. He believed God and it was reckoned to him, or what's the word you say?
It was credited to him.
Yes, I love that word. It was credited to him as righteousness because he looked to God to do something creative that was not yet in the flesh. And you just read Romans 4:17 that he calls things that are not. He calls them into existence. God does. Now, what other thing could we believe in that could call something that is not into existence? There's nothing.
You know, if you go back to Genesis 1, that's exactly what it did all the way through that first chapter of Genesis. He said, "Let there be light, let there be the water and the firmament," and so on. He created all of those things with words. He took an idea, put words with it, and created it.
Yes. Now, what other religion, Darren, can we look to their God and say their God can create something out of nothing? Allah can't. Confucianism can't. Hindu can't. None of these gods can.
Well, let's take the 18th verse here of Romans 4. It says, "In hope against hope he believed." Now, I believe that when we have hope in the natural, but you've got hope against hope, the hope in the eternal has to take precedence over what we see in the flesh or the temporal.
So good, yes.
And when we say temporal or temporary, one day that's going to expire. It's going to go away. Be dead, and it's going to rot and be no more. But it says, "In hope against hope he believed, in order that he might become the father of many nations, which he was promised." Mm-hmm. "According to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be." And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he had the hope of what God had spoken to him. "You're going to have all these descendants." He said, "Oh, my goodness, it's going to come through your body, Abraham."
Well, he had tried on his own, and look what that got him. It got him an Ishmael. And so there was nothing else left but to actually believe in God. And it's too bad sometimes, Darren, our friends wait till the very last minute. They try everything else, and then they believe in God. Although, you know, God works through that. He really does.
He works at 11:59.
He really does.
All right, in verse 20 it says in Romans 4, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief." Now, he had to hold up that promise in his heart, and he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was also able to perform.
Yes.
Now, that's the key struggle between the faith and the natural world. Can God do what he said? And I want to inject this right now. God never said one thing in Scripture in presumption.
Oh, that's, yes.
Now, you see, we're around people all the time that just blow and go. And we say, you know, if what you said over there, Big Mouth, would come to pass, it'd just be marvelous. But you don't have the ability to make it happen. It will never happen because you're just flesh and blood. And what you said, you spoke in presumption.
Well, and they've been speaking it up. They've been speaking it for years. years, their whole life is made up of this thing that's going on and on and on and on. And it's always just a little bit ahead of them, just like the carrot in front of the horse, just a little bit ahead of them. And Darren, that's so sad that they're, like you said, blowing and going, and they do not have any faith in God. See, we can't do it in the flesh. We cannot see our visions and our dreams come to pass in the flesh. We've got to go into the spirit to see this happen.
Well, you know, I think about that with some building materials. Some people say, well, that you see that roof up there? I just bought that roof. And I paid a little extra for it, but you know, it has a 50-year guarantee. Or I just bought this paint, and it has, I can paint my house once, and I don't have to paint it for another 30 years. And I've got a written guarantee. I want to say, well, first of all, who wrote it? What's behind it? See, I mean, can they really guarantee this paint for 30 years? Can they really guarantee that roofing material for 50 years? And I have some solid doubts. I say, well, who's going to be around? I mean, you'll forget where the guarantee was in 30 years or 50 years.
Yes.
But, see, God says things, and like when he said to the children of Israel, you're going down into this land, you're going to be there 400 years. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They were there 400 years. And he can prophesy hundreds of years ahead of time and have it come out right on the money.
Yes. Now, this verse that we have, enjoyed reading about, the righteous man shall live by faith. We find that in so many verses, not only in Habakkuk in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. And we see here that Abraham believed God. He believed God, his creator, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In Romans 4 and 5, Darren, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. For to one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Now, what does that mean, who does not work? You mean who's lazy and lays around? Well, I was kind of curious about this, so I looked up the word work. And in the Strong's Concordance in the New Testament, it's number 2041. It's ergon. It's performance. It's the result of employment. That's one meaning. But also, it's making it happen in the physical. Now, see, we're so used to doing that. In the physical, we're used to making things work, making them happen. But here, Abraham didn't work. He didn't do the performance. He instead believed, and that word believe is number 4100 in the Strong's. It's a word that means to have mental persuasion. Now, first of all, we've got to have it in our spirit, but we've got to win over our mental. We've got to win over our mind to have absolute confidence in the Lord and steadfastness and not giving up.
Well, there's a wonderful test that you can do. In fact, many times when I meet people, I do this. I don't tell them. But unless sometimes I'm in a teaching situation, but I say, okay, let's write down three things. Here's the spirit, here's the mind, here's the flesh. Now, which one in your life is in control? Mm. Well, man, I like to eat. And I look at him and say, yeah, I see that. Barbara's looking at me.
Yeah, you were up last night or the night before, weren't you? There was little crumbs
sleep
on the counter.
I can't sleep.
Yes.
I think I should eat. See?
See. Okay.
But anyway, some people
preaching
say, you know.
Preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, that's right. They say, if it tastes good, I'm going to eat it. Well, so on the throne of their life is all of the things that they could eat or drink that would taste good to them. All right, then there are some people, I'll pick on the college professors. They say, oh, my whole life is my mind. Oh, if I ever lost mental control, I just wouldn't know what to do. And so their mind rules their spirit and their flesh. Mm-hmm. Now, in the case of the flesh guy, his flesh rules the mind and the spirit.
Yes.
Now, what God wants us to do is, through his word, dethrone the mind and say, you can't run the show anymore. Body, you can't run the show anymore. The spirit is going to take control. Mm-hmm. So it's spirit number one, then the mind, then the flesh. 1, 2, 3, like that.
Yes.
And the Bible says spirit, mind, body.
That's right. We don't make it happen.
No, we don't. God
does.
We
do not. God does.
Now, let me give you the Living New Translation out of Hebrews 11:1, which I love. What is faith? It is a confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot see.
Yet see.
Now, some people would say faith is the title deed. Some people would say it's a confirmation. And I like the New American Translation that says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'll tell you, in Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, you could say without substance, it's impossible, or without evidence, or without confirmation. Now, I work on the scripture, Barbara, and my approach to faith and my approach to scripture is until the word of God is superseding.